to the future at Holy Faith Parish.
Holy Family.
Holy Family, sorry. Holy Family Parish.
Hopefully in Jacksonville, because there's one out here too.
And we're very excited to have him here. His identity is as a priest of God and for the kingdom. And he loves Our Lady. Fun fact, Father David actually did his pastoral year here when he was in the seminary in 2013 and 2014. And he did come on fire when he was here. And so he's very familiar with this retreat. So with that being said, I will hand it over to Father David.
So I'm super excited to be here for lots of reasons. When Ashley, reached out and to see if I was available for it, like immediately I just checked my calendar and I was available and it worked out. And as I was thinking about coming here and first I said yes, I didn't know what the theme was. I didn't know anything. I'm just available. And then based upon when I was available, she said, well, you can do the first talk. No pressure on that one. But as I was thinking about giving the first talk on the fire retreat, so when I was here on 2013, 2014 from a pastor year, that wasn't my first time on this retreat. Because back in March of 2009, before seminary, Tyler went, he was a student here at UF. And I knew him from Jacksonville, and he invited me to give a talk on a retreat. It was the first talk on a retreat based upon the Holy Eucharist, and it was a retreat that has become fire. It was really the first talk that I ever gave in a really first talk at a retreat or anything else. I was really new in my conversion, discerning the priesthood, pretty confident that the Lord was calling me to that, but I hadn't really made a final decision yet. And so it was just a very impactful moment in my life. That retreat, that talk, and just how powerful the Lord worked in my life as I was there on that retreat. And so to be here with you guys this weekend, it's very special for me. And then being here at this camp, because I don't know where we were, somewhere in Central Florida, Orlando somewhere, for that first retreat. But this camp is very special to me as well, because during that time, I was attending retreats. And the young adults in Jacksonville used to come to this retreat center for an annual young adult retreat. And so I have encountered the Lord in a very deep and powerful and impactful way in this very room. I've had some of my most powerful confessions in my life out there on the porch. And so as I was just driving up here today, I'm kind of overwhelmed with emotion. So I'm very excited to be here with you. And so once again, to be giving this first talk on this retreat that's based on the Holy Eucharist and our theme this weekend of being pierced and poured out, the Sacred Heart of Jesus being our the center, the focus of where our hearts should be drawn to. And as I was standing in the back listening to that wonderful witness, just this wonderful image here, it's almost alive. I was noticing it like almost beating. It was drawing me to itself, and then the rays coming out were like pushing it out. It says drawing and pushing. Like, so this is really what the Sacred Heart of Jesus is all about. He draws us to himself, and then he sends us out to have that same message, that same encounter with mercy and healing, the same encounter with life, the conquering of death, the crushing of walls. All the obstacles, as we said, we put up in our lives, the Sacred Heart crushes all of that. And what a wonderful time, what a wonderful treat you have given yourself for this weekend. It was supposed to happen however many months ago, but by God's providence, it's this weekend, this special time. And what a special encounter with the Lord a retreat can be. So as he said, let's listen. Really listen to, not that I'm going to have any magnificent life-changing words, but even through, we know in the scriptures, the Lord uses donkeys to convey his message. So you got a donkey up here talking. And so maybe even through some of my mumbling and my broken words, the Lord will speak to you. But I know for certain he will speak to you when we celebrate the Holy Mass, when he stands in our presence in the Holy Monstrance. And you have time to be in his presence, the Lord will speak to you. And we want to pray for that grace of amazement that grace of wonder, to be completely enraptured by this beautiful gift. And so maybe one of the obstacles we can pray against or pray through is, why not? Why am I not amazed? A good number of you are seniors in college, and some of you have graduated. A lot of you are in the habit of daily mass and daily prayer. Is my heart really moved with amazement at the thought of the Holy Eucharist, much less being in His presence? Because one of the dangers is that we get comfortable with the Holy Eucharist. We get comfortable with the things of the faith. And so what are the distractions that we're allowing in our lives that compete with Jesus in the Holy Eucharist? You know, at the parish when I'm doing marriage prep, that's one of the things I talk to the couples about. Like, when you say "I do," a new reality is formed. And that it's your duty to protect that and to guard that and to honor that. So you have to limit the distractions, not even sinful things, just normal, ordinary, everyday distractions that will compete for your time with your spouse. We have that same obligation to limit the distractions in our lives that limit us, that prevent us from being overcome with awe and amazement at Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, at His Sacred Heart, which takes on flesh every time Mass is celebrated, as it's made present to us in the small little host. This is what Pope Benedict XVI, the Great, one of his quotes says this: "Thus, in the heart of Jesus, the center of Christianity is set before us. It expresses everything, all that is genuinely new and revolutionary in the new covenant. This heart calls to our heart and invites us to step forth out of the futile attempt of self-preservation, and by joining in the task of love, by handing ourselves over to Him and with Him, to discover the fullness of love, which alone is eternity and which alone sustains the world." The heart of Jesus, the center of Christianity, everything that is new. And so if this is true, which I believe it is, then I have to live my life as though it's true, limiting the distractions and exciting within myself the emotions and the passions and the love, like reminding myself that this is what is good and true and beautiful. And that the flashy things of the world or the mundane tasks of daily life cannot and should not compete with that. And so it does take an act of the will. And we have to be mature in our faith. We can't rely merely on our emotions. You might have an emotional experience this weekend. That's wonderful. That's beautiful. And I hope it does, because it's in our passions that we can really move to the depths of love. But it can't be merely an emotional, dispassionate kind of response, because the lights might be a certain way, there might be a certain song that you like, or everyone else around you is crying and kind of having a moment, and so you want to kind of just have it too. We can't fake it. We have to allow ourselves, through the knowledge of what's real and what's true, that this is God, that He died for me, and He's coming to me today so that I can give my life to Him. That should excite some emotion in you. So it's okay to have a passionate response, but you can't be enslaved to your passions, and you can't be motivated by an emotional response. We've all, I imagine, at some point fallen in love to some degree. It's that passionate love that moves us the first time, but it doesn't last. And if we only rely on that, the relationship won't last. And we have to keep adding things to it to increase the emotions. But once we put our heart, our will, our desire, and we choose to love the other, it's when real relationship and real love takes place. And this is the invitation each time that we're in front of the Holy Eucharist. So as I was saying, like I was brought back to the beginning of my journey, just of my life as a disciple, my life here at this camp, my life with UF, of my pastoral year, and the times I've had a chance to come back since then. It's good for us to go back to the beginning of the story of salvation, the story of creation, and really why the Sacred Heart is necessary, why the Mass is necessary, why are we here? I'm sure we all have heard the word kerygma, this proclamation of the gospel, this proclamation of the saving message of Jesus Christ, that at the beginning, and we read in Genesis, that God created everything, the very breath of God breathed over the disorder, the chaos, and brought order to what was disorder. And he crowned the creation with the human person. Male and female, he created them, and it was very good that man wasn't alone, that now he had a partner. And he created them for no other reason, the first paragraph of the Catechism tells us, just out of sheer love, the sheer desire to share. God wanted you to be alive so that he could love you. That's why he created each person and all of humanity. He wanted an object to love. And so he created you for the sake of communion. And then we know about the story of the fall. And what the serpent did, Adam and Eve, through whatever disobedience, pride, selfishness, fear, they ate the apple. And immediately, separation. We were created for communion, and now we were separated. What did they do? They went and hid. They were hiding because they realized they were naked. But immediately, what was the Father's response? Where are you? This open-ended question, this invitation to come back. He's God. He knew where they were. He wanted to give them a chance to return. And then we know the story where the serpent was bound to eat the dirt, and that one day the seed of the woman would come and crush his head, that he would be killed. That one day would come when no longer death and separation would reign in our lives, but it would be freedom and life. That was the promise. That's chapter 3 of the Bible. And we get all the way through the Old Testament when God is trying to reveal himself, when he's trying to break down those barriers, when he's realizing how hard the hearts are and how easily that we as humans are drawn away to idolatry and infidelity. That's the story of the Old Testament. This constant pursuit of the Father for his children who come halfway and then run away again. And then until when St. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 4, in the fullness of time, he sent his Son. In the fullness of time, Christ came. And he began this attack of he was attacking the devil. It was battle. Yeah, he was born this cute little baby. You know, he had this quiet life for 30 years. And then, you know, I mean, the joke is, right, he went camping for 3 years with his good friends. But he was in battle mode. He was going to battle with the devil, battle with death. And when he died, the devil thought he won. But that's when the victory really began. That's when death was conquered. That's when death died. And that was God's plan. That is God's plan. That through the crucifixion of God, through when God died, we were brought back to life. The promise of Genesis 3:15 came true. That all those years, those centuries of preparation now reached the fulfillment. That we were no longer enslaved to our passions, no longer enslaved to death. That we were set free. And the very same Spirit of God that breathed over the chaotic waters and brought order to creation was now given to us through the merits of the cross, which come to us through the sacraments. It's God's plan. Part of that camping excursion experience is when he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom and told Peter, I'm building my church on you. You have my authority. Then he shared that same authority with the rest of the 12. He created this community in order to be leaders of the church. The church simply means people called together. But because we're not just spirits, we're humans, body and soul, there's a necessary physicality to this structure, to this calling together, and this physical structure of the church. And he desired to share his life with us through the sacraments. Unless you're born again of water and the Spirit, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, he's clear and he's explicit with these instructions. That he wants these physical things to bring his love, his mercy, and his healing to each one of us. This is the foundation of the church and the sacraments. And what the church teaches us is that it's the Holy Eucharist is the source and the summit of our faith. We know what those words mean, source and summit, the beginning and the end. It's the reason why it exists, and it's the end for our journey. The Holy Eucharist, the bread of life, the Word made flesh, the very Word that spoke all things into existence, took on flesh and became a man. And that man died, and he left his body for us. We speak about the Sacred Heart. This is what this image is before us. And it should be the image that we think about when we think about the love of Jesus. The Sacred Heart is the human love of God. The heart is not what they tell us on Valentine's Day or what the Hallmark cards try to tell us. The heart is the center of the human person, where all decisions are made, where our true identity rests. The Hallmark heart is better described in ancient thought as the stomach, the disordered passion ruling. We all have that experience. We can make the analogy to our own selves. We're driven by our passions. Where St. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, he says, I'm writing you with tears in my eyes about these people who conduct themselves as enemies of the cross because their God is their stomach and they glory in their shame. So our stomach is our disordered passions, but our heart is the core. It's the center. It's who we are. And then Jesus' humanity is who he is. How does God love us? Through Jesus, it's in the Sacred Heart that beats for each one of us. That beautiful quote from St. Margaret Mary, that our heart, what's the exact quote? Did someone write it down? That's the first time I heard it, and it was wonderful. You got it? It's very similar to what St. Augustine says, right? Our hearts are restless until they rest in the Lord. But this wonderful quote from St. Margaret Mary. Jesus Christ is the true friend of our hearts, and they are made for him alone. They cannot find rest, joy, or satisfaction except in him. Let us love him then with all our might and show it by suffering everything in silence for his love. They cannot find rest or satisfaction except in him. Again, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but who cannot relate to that? Who has tried to rest in something else? And who has suffered those consequences? Maybe you're suffering those consequences right now. And it doesn't have to be a great major thing. It could be just this persistent disquietude of our heart. Because the world telling us we need this or that or the other. And Jesus says, come to me. In John chapter 12, he says, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all men, all people, all things to myself. When I'm lifted up, when I'm crucified, when I'm beaten and abused, when I'm scourged, when I'm naked and left for dead, "This is my glory, and this is what will set you free." He went to the depths of humiliation, of pain, to set you free. Because he knows how easy it is for us to be tempted to everything and anything else. In his love, he always draws us back. You know, in the book of Revelation, when we have that image of what heaven is, you know, John sees Jesus. He sees a lamb, the Lamb of God, standing yet slain. Standing yet slain. When you look at the crucifix, you see the Lamb of God standing and slain. This is our key to victory. This is how we win. This is what the heart of God is. Constantly giving of himself for you. And it's really present in the Holy Eucharist. This weekend is an amazing and profound time for you. Wherever you are on that belief scale, maybe you're just going through the motions. You're just doing it because you want friends and because you see the cool people doing it. Or maybe you've had a real encounter and you've had the same visions that St. Margaret Mary had. And you've come to know him and you've given your life. You've said a definitive yes to Jesus and that you're never turning back. There's still more. There's still more work the Lord can do in your heart. Because that quote from Pope Benedict is to discover the fullness of love, which alone is eternity and which alone sustains the world. We speak about the Sacred Heart of Jesus being on fire for love. And the world is on fire for hatred and violence and retribution. The heart of Jesus sustains the world, and he does it through your life, through you who've been redeemed, you who've encountered the real presence, you who've known the love of God made present in the Holy Eucharist, his Sacred Heart beating for you. You are the one that Jesus will use to sustain the world by your witness, by your love. So there's always more. Until the world is on fire for love of Jesus, we're not done. So allow your hearts, allow every part of your heart to be penetrated by the love of God this weekend. Don't worry, as she said, if you don't know how to pray. Who cares? Or if you think you're the perfect prayer. Who cares? Open your heart. Allow Jesus permission to intrude into your life, to change your life, to go deeper. He really is present. We can give you all the definitions. We can give you all of the evidence. But you have to want it. You have to want to be in amazement and in awe of the presence of Jesus. You have to realize that your heart is restless and that your heart is nothing without him. And that's all it takes. What did it take for the prodigal son? A simple recognition, and he returned in the fullness. Let this weekend be that weekend of return for you, that weekend of healing for you, the weekend of fulfillment, the weekend where you encounter the love of Jesus beating in his Sacred Heart. Amen.